for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 29th, 2010. Ken Kimball is the speaker of the service, teaching on Bible Steps to a Happy Home.
We'll bless tonight Pastor Ken Kimball. Come bless us, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God in His sanctuary. Amen. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to try to conquer this thing again. We shall overcome.
Amen.
I want to talk to you tonight. Very, very important subject. It's never surprising, but always amazing, how when I go to a meeting where there are several ministers, and I'm one of the ministers, and to see how God speaks to each of the other ministers, just very much like He's speaking to me, and how God works everything all together. Isn't it wonderful?
Hallelujah.
A few days ago, I decided what the topics would be. Now, I'm not quite sure what my last message is going to be at this point. But I had the last one last night and the one tonight. Not last night, the night before. And the one tonight already in my heart. And it's just amazing to me how everything's working together. And I just give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory. This is not me. This is not Ken Kimball. This is God working it out for His people.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So tonight I want to speak to you concerning some family matters. Concerning some family matters. Bible steps to a happy home. Bible steps to a happy home. Would you all please stand as we read from the Word of God? I want you to turn in your Bibles to two different scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and then Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's all read together Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And now Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your holy word. This word that is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Your written word. Because Your words give life. Your words give healing. Your words give protection and provision. We thank You so much for Your holy word. And Lord, I pray, please again, be the speaker this evening. Push Ken Kimball out of the way and be our speaker by Your precious Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. We don't need to hear from a preacher. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit of God this evening. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. And Lord, anoint these lips of clay to preach Your words and Your words only. I pray in Jesus' name. We give You all praise, honor, and glory for anything good that happens this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I dare say we've all heard these scriptures before and are quite familiar with them. I think most of you probably just recited them as we read them. But sadly, few, it seems, in the church are willing to live by them. Think about that. We know these scriptures, but do we live by them? Do we really trust in the Lord with all our might, with everything that we are? Remember the illustration of the tightrope walker from the other evening. Do we really believe that God will do what He said He would do? Do we really trust Him? In Matthew 6:33, do we really seek His kingdom and His ways first? Or do we seek our own ways? I want to tell you, and I think you know that this is probably true in your life, maybe, I hope not, but in a lot of people that you know, if you think about it, yourself as well, we don't really turn to God like we should. The Word of God has the answer to every problem in this life. If we will just turn to His Word and be diligent to seek the answer. But sometimes we always seem to think, that we know how to handle things on our own. Yeah. Now here's an illustration. How many of you guys have ever put together a toy or a bicycle or a piece of furniture? Comes with instructions. But do we look at the instructions? No, I don't need that. Don't need that. Well, the ladies, they look at the instructions. Yeah. But us guys, we're a little bit more stubborn. That's good in a way sometimes. But you know what I mean. Do we read the instructions? And, you know, there's been times, and I think I've seen, you know, you've seen on maybe a television program or a movie or something, or maybe you've seen this in your own home, where the guy will be putting together a piece of furniture and it's not quite right, fiddle with it for hours, and every time the wife says, "Oh honey, why don't you just look at the instructions?" "Oh, I don't need that. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing." Finally, he breaks down and looks at the instructions, and within like a minute or two, he says, Oh, the institution of marriage is in trouble in America for this very reason. We're going to talk about family matters tonight. And I think that God has a word for some of you in this room tonight. I felt it very strong in my spirit earlier today. And as we began the worship service, I was walking the room. God is going to speak to some of you this evening, and I want you to be ready for it. And when He does, I don't want you to reject it. I want you to receive it and say, "Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord." Don't push it away. Don't you push it away. Don't you dare. Marriages are in trouble in America today because people keep trying to make it work without reading the instructions. The happy home is becoming increasingly rare in America today. The divorce rate is appallingly high, even in the church. In fact, it's a sad fact, but I have read reports which say that the divorce rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world. How can that be? How can that be? It's because God's people, even God's people, do not turn to Him, to the instruction manual, when it comes to matters of domestic life. So the American family is in trouble today. Marriage and family counselors abound here in America. And boy, do they do a strong business. But in all their counseling, they offer little hope to families unless they offer biblical guidance. I'm going to say that again. But in all their counseling, they have little hope to offer families unless they offer biblical guidance. Marriage is God's first institution. I got this from the Book of Common Prayer. And in that Book of Common Prayer, how many of you have ever seen a Book of Common Prayer? Maybe you have one in your home. In there, there's a portion, it's a minister's handbook, actually, is what it is also. It's a Book of Common Prayer, but also in there you'll find the marriage ceremony. And this is from the Book of Common Prayer. Marriage is God's first institution for the welfare and continuance of the race, originated in divine wisdom and goodness, and designed to promote human happiness and holiness. This rite is the foundation of home life and social order and must so remain till the end of time. Let me pause right here and say, one man, one woman, that's what a marriage is. Come on now. The world is changing. It's going corrupt. We're just lost our equilibrium. We're just reeling out of control in America and all around the world, really. Our people have turned away from God We've turned away from His Word, and so we're going to hell in a handbasket. And if we don't turn around, if we don't repent, and repent soon, America as we know it is going to cease to exist. Marriage was sanctified and honored by the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ at the marriage in Cana of Galilee and marked the beginning of His wondrous works. It is commended of St. Paul to be honorable among all men and therefore not to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisedly, and in the fear of God. I never join two people together in holy matrimony unless I have first counseled with them. I can't imagine a minister just joining two people together in marriage without having counseled with them first. I just can't imagine that. It's probably one of the reasons why there's such a high divorce rate. And another reason why there's such a high divorce rate, maybe we can talk about this later, God willing, I don't know. But the dating boyfriend-girlfriend mentality, I talk to youth groups a lot too. And this dating mentality, dating has led, I believe, to the high divorce rate as well. If you just think about it, you'll see that I'm making a little sense up here. Maybe I'll talk about that later, but not right now. If you want to have a happy and blessed marriage and a happy and blessed home, you must do things God's way. Now, how many of you would agree with that? Does that make sense? God has told us plainly in His Word how husbands and wives, parents and children are to behave. Now, do you want to hear what God's Word has to say about it or not? All right, let's go. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Oh, now look at that. Come on. All right. Now, this begins at verse 22. I know in some of the newer Bibles it begins at verse 21. It doesn't begin at verse 21. This thought begins at verse 22. Verse 21 is part of chapter 20, part of verse 20. And I'll get on that later. But you know, it wasn't until 1550 that Stephanus divided the Bible into chapter and verse. Before then, there was no chapter and verse. And so this is the divisions between chapter and verse was from 1550. And so I believe that it's mostly right, but there are times when I know that the divisions aren't quite what I would agree with. But anyway, let's start at verse 22 where it says wives. Now we're going to start with the ladies first. Ladies first. I want all you ladies to read these with me. You don't have to read them out loud, but I want you to read them with me because, you know, some ladies, they know, oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 22, chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And all the ladies said, Amen. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, which says, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. As is fit in the Lord. That word fit, befitting, convenient, fitly, proper. Now let's go to Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. What was that word? To their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now let's go to 1 Peter. Are you still with me? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and following. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation. Now, this is an old word which means lifestyle. By the lifestyle of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, or like I said, lifestyle, coupled with fear or respect, whose adorning Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Even so must wives... This is talking about the wives of ministers. But let's just say it's for all wives. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Now, these are some things that God tells wives that they must do. How many of you were in the service this afternoon when Ish was talking about family matters as well? Now, wasn't that good? I was shocked. I really was. Now, I guess I couldn't relate to a lot of the things that he was saying. It's not because he wasn't talking, he wasn't relevant. He was obviously very relevant. But I could not relate to an abusive home situation. I grew up in a very happy home. My parents both loved me. I know that they love me. They still love me. I have a happy home. My wife loves me. My children all love me. When I get home from wherever I've been, they all just run and say, "Hi, Daddy!" And they give me a hug. And every night they love me and kiss me and say goodnight to me. I mean, I have a happy home. And I had a happy home. And I intend that all of them will have happy homes. I couldn't believe it when so many said that their parents never told them that they loved them. I wanted to cry, folks. I ached in my heart for everyone who had to say that their parents never said, "I love you." I tell my son, I probably told him 3 or 4 times already today, "I love you." Folks, if, and we talked about a lot of situations, he talked about a lot of situations, well, I won't get into right now, but all those situations, all of them could be avoided if everyone would do what the Bible says to do in the home. Come on now. If husbands would be good husbands and wives would be good wives and children and fathers and parents would be good the way they're supposed to be, what we're going to read, we could eliminate all of that. But the problem is our nasty, dirty, filthy flesh gets in the way and says, "I want to do it this way." I do marriage counseling before I join two people together in marriage. Well, I had a friend. He wanted me to do his granddaughter's wedding. He was kind of Mr. Daddy, that big bucks, and he wanted to pay for everything. He wanted me to do his granddaughter's wedding. He liked me. I don't know why, but he liked me. And I said, "Sure, I'll be glad, but I have to speak to them first. I've never even met them." So he understood, and I said, "Okay, well, I'll meet them." And we worked out a time, and we met at a restaurant, and we had a nice lunch together. And I said, "Well, now let's get out the word. I want to just have a little counseling session with you. That's why we're here together." And they said, "Okay," and I knew things were bad from the very beginning, because that granddaughter was sitting there like, "Okay, we have to do this because you want us to do this, but okay, let's get it over with." I said, "Okay, well," she didn't actually say those words, but that was what she was saying with her eyes and her face and her posture. "Okay, well," I said, let's read what the Bible says about marriage. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you what God's Word says about marriage. God's Word is the blueprint for life. If you follow the blueprint, you follow the instructions, you're going to have a happy life. If you follow His instructions for a happy home, you're going to have a happy home. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. It's a simple math equation. So I got out the Bible and I read, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord." Right there! I lost that girl. Right there! I could see her tears welling up in her eyes, and she was starting to tremble, and her face was red, matched her hair. I shouldn't talk. All of my girls are redheads. Except for one, Susanna Grace has blonde hair. She said, well, I think that's just ridiculous. Now, what do you do with that? I said, "Well, I'm just reading the Bible. May I continue? I just want to read to you what the Bible says." So I read the rest of it. And I thought, I read all those scriptures I just read to you. Well, she was just livid. I said, well, Nancy, hold on, hold your horses. The Bible has what to say to husbands as well. And I thought, well, maybe she thought I was picking on her or something, you know. I said, no, let's see, what does the Bible say for husbands? And I you know, motioned to the guy, and I said, come on, let's see what the Bible says about husbands. So let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and following. Husbands, how many husbands or guys do we have in the room tonight? Raise your hand. This is to you. Now, if you're not a husband, okay. But if you're a young man, you may be a husband someday. And if you, you know, this is just for guys. You just need to know this, guys, okay? You just need to know this. Same for you ladies. This is all good for your information. But guys, listen especially. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Can I hear all the guys say amen?
Amen.
That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now that's true. All of this is true. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. I said, leave his father and mother. Don't you be taking your bride to your parents' house. Your bride doesn't want that, and neither do your parents. Joshua. He shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. Colossians, guys, chapter 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, guys. Titus, chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and then 6 through 15. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now go down to verse 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servant... Okay. All right. First Peter. Still with me. Chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, meaning their wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Giving what?
Honor
unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Also, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, believe it or not, that is talking about the wife. Adam Clark's commentary says, let every man use his wife for the purpose alone for which God created her and instituted marriage. There's a lot of perversion going on in marriages today. And I don't want to get into this. I think you probably may guess what I'm talking about. But just perversions that do not belong in the marriage bed. I'll read it again. This is Adam Clark's commentary. Let every man use his wife for the purpose alone for which God created her and instituted marriage. Folks, if all the wives, ladies, if you would all be, as we have read earlier, if you would be like the Lord wants you to be in your marriage, and if, guys, you would be like you are to be in the marriage, if you'd both do what God wants you to do, if you follow instructions, you're going to have a happy marriage. You can't help but have a happy marriage. And the problem is, either the guy or the gal, or both, don't want to do what God said. That's where the problem lies. That's why there's such a high divorce rate in America today, even in the churches. Now, just think about it. If you're a guy and you have a wife that's always nagging and complaining and running you down and fussing about this or that, are you going to want to treat her like Christ treats the church? Chances are you're not going to feel that compulsion to treat her that way. Now think of this. If you're a lady and you have a husband that's always criticizing you and browbeating you and running you down, treating you like dirt, are you going to want to treat him the way, are you going to want to submit to him? It's going to be awfully hard for you to submit and to obey that person, isn't it? Now, something's got to happen in the marriages, in the churches, and in America today. We've got to turn back to God's way of doing things. Thank you. Now, our word husband comes from the Anglo-Saxon hus bond, the bond of the house, anciently spelled house bond. Thus, it is the husband that is obligated to hold the house together in the fear of God. How sad it is, though, when the husband and the father, instead of being the bond and the union of the family, scatters and ruins it by dissipation, excess, or riotous behavior. As the husband is, so goes the house. Now, this may not be something that you like, but it's the truth. The man is the head of the house, and the house will go as the man goes. If you have a head, if your head in your household is a drunkard, watch out, it's coming. It's coming. The children will be so as well, most likely. Unless they just get fed up with it and say, I'm never having a drink. That does happen. Are you still with me? All right, hang on. We've got to get back to Bible basics. Amen. In the home. Now, I can tell that God is already dealing with some of you. God is already dealing with some of you. In John chapter 15, verse 12, we read, love one another. Love one another. And I want to tell you something, and this is true. You got to love your wife, guys, and you got to love your husband, girls. Amen. Good woman. She's a good woman. I have a good woman, too. Whenever I'm preaching and she's in the audience, everybody else could be staring daggers through me, but I see my wife over there. That's good, honey. You're doing a good job. I love you, sweetheart. I love that about her. She is so faithful. She would probably even kill for me if she needed to. I mean, she just loves me that much. She's descended from Vikings, by the way. Now, if she has a problem with me, she'd probably let me know it, but she'd do it in a gentle way. But anybody else start picking on me, hey, watch out! She loves me. I love her. But you know what? I love Jesus more than I love her. And you know what else? She loves Jesus more than she loves me. And you know what? I don't mind. But you know what? Because if she loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, strength, and mind, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, we're going to love each other more. Think of it as a triangle. God's up here. The husband and the wife down here. Now, this is simple geometry or mathematics of some kind. I don't know. I was never good at that. Was this geometry, maybe? The shapes, is that geometry? Sound like a dope up here. Anyway, God's at the top, and here's the wife and the husband down here. Now, as I get closer, I move closer on up here to God, and she moves closer up here to God, then the distance between us becomes less. We're actually closer to each other. The closer each gets to God, the closer they will be to each other. And so, if both the husband and the wife behave as they are to behave, according to the Word of God, the marriage will be a blessed marriage, a happy marriage. Amen. Now, the problem is, again, we don't want to do what God says to do. Now, God's convicted some of you already. Now, what about the rest of the family, the children? It says here, children, obey your parents. Let's go to Ephesians again. It's a wonderful book for family issues. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this is worded rather strangely, and you might think it's talking about obey your parents in the Lord like the one who led you to Christ. It's talking about your physical parents, folks. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, let's concentrate on the children first. Obey your parents, honor your father and your mother. What's being taught in public schools today is the exact opposite. I remember even when I was in school, in high school, being told, you don't have to do what your parents say to do. You don't have to mind your parents. Well, I'm sorry, but yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. God commands children. It's one of the Ten Commandments, folks. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Solomon was king of all of Israel. And when his mother came, he could have, because it's true, the king, if someone came into the king's presence without being invited, they could be put to death, including the mother, if he would have wanted it that way. What did he do? He said, here, put a chair beside me and I want her to sit up here with me. Amen! He honored his mother. But he was king of all of Israel. He wasn't a little boy. When do you have to stop honoring, or when do you get to stop honoring your mother and your father? When? When you leave home? Well, what about when you're older and they're very old and they're just really not all there anymore? Can you stop honoring them then? What about when they're dead? Can you stop honoring them? There's nothing in here about honor thy father and thy mother until you leave home. Oh, I've heard teenagers say, I've worked with teenagers for most of my ministry. I've heard teenagers say, well, I can't wait till I'm 18 and I can leave home. By the way, biblically, it's 20 when you become an adult when you're 20, not 18. They think 18 is some magical number. Woohoo! I'm 18! They look just as stupid as they are. I'm 18. Woohoo! I'm going to move out and do what I want to do when I want to do it and anything I want to do, anytime I want to do. Until the first monthly bills come along. Oh, my. Mom, Dad, grab some money. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is for life. I try my best to always honor my father and my mother. They're getting up in years. I still honor them. If my dad wants me to do something and he says, I want you to do this, and he's insisting upon it. Now, you know, I am a man and he understands that, and there's times when he says, well, you do what you want to do, son, but this is what I would do. And in that case, I am free to either do what he suggests or do what I think would be better. Okay? But if he insists on something, I'm his son and I'm going to honor that. I may not like it, but I will honor it. And when they're dead and gone, and I do not look forward to that day, but when they're dead and gone, I will still honor them. Yes. I'll tell my grandchildren about them, and I'll tell them good things about them. Honor your father and your mother. We have a nursing home ministry, and we've not done it as we have, but we've done this for several years. I mean, this started way back when we lived on the other street, in the other house. I think this probably started way back in 1987 or 88. A nursing home ministry. We'd go out every Sunday, and we would sing, and then, you know, we'd say hello to a few people and leave. But then it got to be where we would just go around and visit people. That's all we did. Just went around visiting people. Just making their day a little bit brighter. And you should see how the elderly, their faces would just light up when all these little children come along. Oh, they loved it. And they'd give them presents, actually, some of them. They were in the nursing home. Now, everybody in the nursing home doesn't have this same situation. But many of them that we ministered to were there because their children didn't want to bother with taking care of them. Well, I'm sorry. They changed your dirty diapers. Why can't you change theirs? There's a guy in Uvalde. His mother was in the nursing home. He never went to see his mother. We went to see his mother every week. Even when she didn't even know we were there, we went to see her, and I would sing to her, and we would talk to her. We didn't know if she would hear us or not, but we did. Don't ever treat your parents like that. And if you're a child, I mean, if you're a child, don't ever treat your parents like that. My children know that that's not going to happen with us. We've already let them know that that's not going to happen. And Joshua will be the first to say, no, it's not. In fact, he wants to take care of us when we get to the point where I hope we're never there. I hope we never reach the point where we have to be taken care of. But if we are ever at that point, he has said, and I believe him, he's very sincere, he wants to take care of us. And some of the girls have said, well, no, we want to help too. He said, no, I'm going to do it. So they're fighting over who's going to take care of us. That's what you want, folks. I'm proud of my family. I guess you can tell. Children, obey your parents. Father, honor your father and your mother forever. It's for life. Tell your grandchildren about your parents so that they'll know what good people they were. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath is the second part of that we read. We have to raise our children, parents, in the Word of the Lord. Amen? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Turn to it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, fathers, this is to us. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Let's just stay there for a moment. What does that mean? Does it mean don't ever make your children mad? I don't think it does. I don't think it does. Now, we heard some horrible stories this afternoon about abuse. I don't know how any father could be like that. But fathers, you must treat those children are handed to you by God. And you are the custodian of that child. It's your responsibility to train them up in the way that they should go. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about how fathers should act toward their children. I don't believe that means don't ever make them mad. I believe that means? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I believe that means raise them in such a way that they will never incur the wrath of God on themselves. Raise them in such a way that they will never incur the wrath of God upon themselves. Now, true, don't browbeat them and don't treat them like dirt. I know that that is probably what is in here too, but I'm telling you, there's more to it than that. You are to raise those children in the ways of the Lord. And so to do that, I don't know how much time I've got, but can you bear with me? I have a ways to go yet still. Are you still with me? All right. Fathers, I have some instructions for you. You can take them or leave them, but I believe that they are from God, and I want to tell you, and I hope that you will listen to me as I tell you, these are some things that fathers should do for their wives and for their children. First of all, there must be a family altar in the home. Now, I'm not talking about you have to build an altar in your home. I'm not talking about that necessarily. If you want to, go ahead. It'd be fine. But what I'm talking about is every day you get your family together. Guys, listen to me. Get your family together and read the Word of God to them. Have prayer together. Amen? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them, and thou shalt listen, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Hallelujah! Sounds like the Word of God is to be the center of our lives. Doesn't it? And the fathers are the ones that are to make sure that this happens. Teach the Word of God diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house. Just sitting around the house. Talk about the Word of God. It's wonderful. It's the best time we have at our house. Now, every morning, this is a typical day in the Kimball house. We get up, some of them kind of sluggishly, and then we have time of morning prayer. We read the Word of God, and we talk about it sometimes, but we always read it, and we have morning prayer. We pray for everyone in the family. That's how we start our day every day. Am I right? We end every day by reciting scriptures and praying together as a family. Now, you can't break up a family like that. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm really not. I say this in all humility, and I'm wanting you to have what I have. I have a happy home. Men, do not falter in this. Read the Word of God to your family. Pray together with them. Amen. It's also found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. It's very similar, so we won't read it at this point. But have a time of family prayer, family Bible reading, every day, at least once a day. But it says right here in our instruction manual, where was it? When thou liest down and when thou risest up. Every evening is right before you go to bed, and every morning. That's the Bible standard. So that's what I would recommend. But at least once a day, guys. Come on, guys, say amen. Another thing, and this might be a little controversial, I don't know, I hope not. And if it's something that really offends you, I want to apologize ahead of time. I don't mean to offend you, but I'm just saying what I believe is the best thing for you and your family. Are you ready for it? I believe that if you love your children, you should get them out of public school. Why do I say that? Well, they're changing history. They're changing history. Now, I say this, my mother was a public school teacher for many years. And then she taught school at an Air Force base. But school has changed, folks. Even from when I was in school, which doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess it was. Things are changing, folks. They're changing history. They're actively promoting sodomy. This is a horrible perversion. It's an abominable perversion. The Bible says it is an abomination, and that those who practice such shall be put to death. That's what the Bible says, not what I say. It's what the Bible says. Well, I say it too, because the Bible says it. Do I get any amens on that? In California, you'll never believe this. In California, maybe you've read about it. They passed laws. They have made schools gender neutral. What does that mean? Well, that means there's no homecoming queen, no homecoming king. There's just homecoming its. There's no boys' room, girls' room. They've taken the signs down, not in all the schools, but they have in the weirder parts. They've taken the girls' sign down off the girls' bathroom and the boys' sign down off the boys' bathroom. Honestly, I talked to a guy who knows that it's the truth. I read it in the newspaper, but I've heard firsthand that they've done that in some of the schools in California. How can they do that? How can you send a child to a place like that? They're also becoming increasingly communist training grounds. Come on. Well, maybe you don't agree with that, but I'm telling you, they're becoming increasingly communist training grounds. Christ, here's the biggest reason why I don't send my children to public school. First and foremost, Christ and the Bible are not allowed there. And any place where Christ and His Word are not allowed, my children aren't allowed. Don't let them hang. Now, here's another thing. You may not. I hope you still love me, but I'm going to preach it anyway, whether you do or not. If you don't want to send, and I recommend, don't get them out of public school. If you're going to get them out of public school because of the bad influence there, think about this. should you let them hang out with public school children? I don't think so. Because why would you want to do that? You want them to get away from that bad influence, so why, you know, put them back in with the bad influence? Let me just show you something. I'm going to get a chair here, and I want a couple of young people. Would you come up here? Let's see. Let's have a couple of young people, volunteers. Okay, you and you. Come on up here. Come on. You're a star tonight. Come on up here. You too. Well, okay, let's have Lexi. Let's have Lexi. And you, young man, thank you. Lexi and the young man there. And he seems like he wants to come up here, so come on up here. I'm going to give you just a little demonstration to show you why I don't think that if you are doing what you should and get your children out of public school, why you shouldn't let them hang out with public school children. Now, what was your name?
Jotham.
And I know your name's Lexi. Okay. Now, Jotham, I want you to stand on this chair. Okay? Now, Lexi, you come right over here. Now, let me tell you about these two. Now, this is not what they're really like. Okay? I'm just telling you. This boy represents, and I hope you really like this. I hope you are really like this. This boy represents the Christian who wants to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen? And that should be the desire of every Christian. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Well, this here is a friend of his, but you see, he's a Christian and she's not. Now, I know that she probably are, but she's representing the worldliness, the worldly friends that people know. Now, I want you to try to bring her up to where you are. Okay? Now you resist, okay? Don't let him, try not to let him get you. Now you try to get her up there on the chair with you, would you? Just try that. Come on. Try. Get with it. It's hard. It's hard. He might do it. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Oh boy, good. All right, but you did very good. Now that happens sometimes. Sometimes you might bring them up to your level. You might. But it'll be hard, and they'll resist you every step of the way. What mostly happens is this. Now, I want you to try to bring him down to where you are. And you resist. I don't want him to fall. Now, give her your hand. Okay, now you bring him down. Maybe I should have picked someone a little bit smaller, her own size. Okay, there you go. Oh. That's usually what happens. Okay, you can go down. Thank you. Now, give them a hand. Yeah. I should have had two people the same size. You get what I'm saying, though? It's so much easier for the worldly person to drag you down to their level than it is for you to bring them up to your level. So I would recommend that you don't let your children have to face that struggle. Let your children hang out with the people that you would maybe not object to them marrying someday. Amen? People that go to your church, your same church, that believe like you believe, that are like you. Amen? Are you still with me? Kind of quiet in here. Think about the old Passover back in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. Exodus 12. Well, it's talking about Passover. Let me just briefly tell you what I'm talking about. The husband, the father, was to get all the leaven out of the house. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That was Exodus 12:15. Also, verses 18 to 20. Let's just go down there. In the first month, the 14th day of the month, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. Ye shall eat unleavened bread. So my message is simply, get the leaven out of your houses, guys. Leaven represents sin, defilements, false doctrine. What are some defilements that would be in an American home today? Well, what about the boob tube? That peephole into whatever, oblivion. Now, I know a lot of us have televisions, and we have a television set as well. But watch what is, be careful, I should say, what is on that television. Amen? My children to this day, they've never been allowed to just sit down and watch television. They don't. It's not allowed. Why? I mean, some of them are practically grown, are grown. But I still say they are not to just sit down and watch the television. Why? Well, you could say, oh, well, that's a good program. You can watch that. Then come the commercials. You know what I'm talking about? Then come those commercials talking about things that nobody should be talking about on television. You know? So they only watch things that we have pre-approved and have recorded on DVD or tape. That's the only thing they've ever seen. They have I'm honest before God, they have never just sat down and watched television. And they never will. Watch what they see on the Internet as well. The Internet is a wonderful tool, and I use it all the time. But watch what goes on the Internet. You've got to be careful, because you could be looking at something, you're just researching some Bible topic or whatever, just the news of the day, and all, boop, pops up this, what it's called, a pop-up, I guess. It's called a pop-up. Boop, it just pops up. You know what I'm talking about, all these defilements. Get the leaven out of your house. I want you to start with yourself, guys. If there's anything in your life that shouldn't be in that in your life, that shouldn't be in your house, you've got something that maybe you've held on to for years and years, and you turn to sometime when you're all by yourself, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You don't need it. Get the leaven out of your house. Start with yourself, and then take care of your wife and your children. Yeah, I tell you what, I've been in some homes where you wouldn't believe some of the paperback novels on their bookshelves. You know what I'm talking about? How can that be in a Christian home? And the husband's too timid, I guess, to get that book and throw it in the trash. That's my book, says the wife. No, it's not. Belongs to Mr. Garbage Man now. We're getting the leaven out of the house, honey. I'm sorry if this is hurting you. I've gotten rid of the leaven out of me. I'm trying to get rid of all the leaven out of this house. And we're getting rid of it. And be the submissive wife that you should be and say, I agree. It should be gotten rid of. Amen? Are you still with me? Next thing, discipline. Do not forget discipline. Now, we heard this afternoon the wrong way to discipline. Discipline is not torture. Discipline is not browbeating. Discipline is not hurting your children. Now, I guess spanking should hurt a little bit, or else what's the good? But you know what I'm talking about. Use a paddle, not your fist. The Bible has a lot to say about discipline. The politically correct will tell you never to spank your children to punish them in any way. But what does the Bible say? The book of Proverbs has much to say on this subject. Now, I'm going to just read these out to you. You probably won't have time to turn to them. I'm going to read them fast because we're running out of time. But I'll give you the verses, and you can just maybe write them down and look them up later. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." That means often. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." That means while they're young. "And let not thy soul spare for his crying." I don't know how many parents I don't know how I can spank my child when they start crying. I just can't. I just melt. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Stop it. Wake up. Come on. Be a man. Be a woman. Don't spare for their crying. Now, I'm talking about spanking the right way. A paddle on the behind does a world of good. Amen? That's where there's a lot of padding, all right? Right there. Some more than others. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." And it's talking about a paddle to the bottom, I believe. "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." And I have living proof right here. Oh, wait. I skipped a verse. Okay. "He shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell." Proverbs 23:13-14. I'm sorry. Now, Proverbs 29, verse 15-17. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And I have living proof right here. My son Joshua gives me delight. He's well thought of in the community. He's probably, I've heard many of you say that you think well of him here. It does my heart a world of good. I am happy to be known as Joshua's father around town and here. He makes me proud. Discipline your children. But when you discipline them, also remember this. Bless your children. Bless your children. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and following. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, On this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In our home, every evening, I bless my children. We say prayer together, and then I bless each and every one of them. I start with the oldest, go all the way down, I bless my wife as well. And I'll just go ahead and do it right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. You're happy, healthy, humble, obedient, gentle, kind, and wise in Jesus' name. And you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I do that every night of the world because I love my children and I want to bless them. Fathers, bless your children. Discipline them and bless them. And I will place, and they shall place my name upon the children of Israel. What does that mean, they shall place my name upon the children of Israel? In ancient Israel, the priestly blessing would be thusly. The priest would hold his hand in such a way, and he would lay their hands on the children of Israel. If you look at Jerusalem, by the way, where does God said He places His name where? There's a place in this world where God has placed His name. Where is that? It's Jerusalem. The place where I place my name. He refers to it often. Where I have placed my name. If you look at the topography of Jerusalem, there's the Tyropian Valley, the Hinnom Valley, and the... what's the other one? Hinnom, Tyropian, Kidron. These valleys form this shape. And it's a Hebrew letter. It's the letter Shin. And right up here where the dot would go, there's the temple. He said, I place my name there. That word, that Hebrew letter Shin, is the first letter in the word Shaddai. Now, he's called Yahweh, he's called Jehovah, he's got many names, many titles. But one of them is El Shaddai. That means the God of more than enough. Amen? They placed that name upon the children of Israel. So I placed the name of God on all my children every night. Bless them, folks. Bring the Paschal Lamb into the house that the entire family may partake of Him. Amen? The Father brought in the house. The Passover Lamb was brought into the house on the 10th day of Abib every year. And it remained there until the 14th day of Abib when it was sacrificed at Passover. The Father brought the Lamb into the house, and everyone partook of the Lamb. Men, as the head of your house under Christ, you have a responsibility to your family and to God to see that the blood is applied to the doorpost and lintel, and that all in your house partake of the Paschal Lamb. Now, I want to ask you, we've talked about how husbands and wives should be. We've talked about how parents and children should be. I believe God is speaking to some of you here. I believe, ladies, some of you, when I was talking about and was reading from God's Word what a wife should be, that you were thinking to yourself, boy, I that doesn't fit me. I've got a ways to go yet. Guys, when I was reading how Christ should love His wife, like that guys should love their wives like Christ loves the church, I saw it in your faces. Some of you are thinking, I fall very short. I do not show my wife that I love her as I should. Some of you were thinking about how you have been bad to your parents. Some of you children maybe in here were thinking about how you have not been the model child.
If God spoke to any of you tonight, I want to open up this altar and I want the ministry team here to pray for you. And I want you to just give that to God. Give your family to God. Guys, I want you to, if you haven't been doing some of the things that I've been suggesting, if you think it's a good idea and you want to start, come on up here and pray, or you can just where you're sitting. Determine in your mind, I'm going to have Bible time with my family every day. And maybe we can have some music. Is there some music? That music you played earlier was just perfect. Do you have that? I want the ministry team to come up here, if you would, please, as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's all stand. And the ministry team, come up here and we're going to minister if there is need. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank You for the Word that came forth tonight, Your Word. And Lord, I thank You for working in the lives of those who are here tonight. We just ask that You would please be with each and every person here tonight. If You're speaking to them, Lord, make it very clear what You would have them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know how to do this really. If you just want to come up here for prayer, come to any one of us and we will pray with you. Amen? We want to pray with you. Wives, maybe you haven't been the wife that you should be. Husbands, maybe you haven't been the husband that you should be. Is God dealing with you? The altar is open. Are you the father that you should be? Are you the mother that you should be? Young people, are you the child that you should be?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.